Hey, everybody. Welcome to Wallace Hartley Presents the podcast. I'm Glenn.
And I'm Harge.
And we are your hosts.
Of the only podcast taking down the deep state.
One show at a time. Yeah. I like that. I think that should be our motto.
Hey, Glenn, I think your hays are getting longer.
I think they are. You know why?
Today I was worried you were having a seizure.
Let me tell you, that came from a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine who is no longer with us, the Rickster. And Rick used to work downtown on Skid Row as a barman. And then he managed this pub that I used to drink at in Burnaby, little tiny pub, and like tucked away by the golf course by Simon Fraser.
Okay.
You know, is the area I'm talking about?
The Mountain Shadow?
Not the Mountain Shadow. No.
High end for you?
Yeah, too high end for us. Now I can't even remember the name of the pub. Anyways. A buddy of mine owned it, but the Rickster was the manager. And at closing time, even though he's in this nice area of Burnaby, he still did the Skid Row holler at the end of the night. All right, people! Drink 'em up! You can't stay here! All that whole banter. And it was something that people look forward to at the end of the night for last call, right?
And usually last call is a moment of true sadness and despair.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you were in the know. Unless you were, you know, pals with the owners and manager, and then you got to hang around afterwards.
And then go do rails in the back.
We did many, you know, lock-ins.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Locked the doors and...
So the legacy of the Rickster lives on here.
It does.
And Wallace Hartley Presents.
Yes. Okay. So there you go. How was your week?
I don't know what day it is or what is happening or what is going on. I've been locked in this room, this particular room, at this desk, reading about various psychotherapies to facilitate groups and to work with family systems. And I'll tell you, if you want to go fucking insane... Do that for 7 straight days.
So if you want to go sane, read about how to cure insane people.
Yes.
Okay.
Most definitely.
I've never asked you this.
Yeah.
But it seems pertinent since you're this close to having your master's. So are you a Jungian or a Freudian? Or is that even a thing anymore?
I think that was a it's been a while since that's been a thing, but
Rogerian?
No, if this is a forced choice, I'll have to go with Jung.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think somebody, because in my short schooling in counseling psychology, somebody asked me about Rogers. And literally, because I wasn't paying attention to fuck all, I was like, yes! Fred Rogers, I love him.
Well, you're not far off the mark. If you're talking about Carl Rogers, you could pretty much put Fred Rogers in his place and you have the same effect.
Carl Rogers put me to fucking sleep. Yeah. They made us watch videos of his sessions with real people. I was like, oh my God. All he does is repeat back what people are saying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and this motherfucker is making some... coin.
He's like a human Valium. So, I mean, he's like, he embodies the therapy himself. He calms you right the fuck down.
Yeah, but if I'm pissed and I want to talk about my shit, and this guy's like, so, Glenn, it sounds to me like what you're saying is you'd like to punch me in the throat. Yeah, fucking A. You know what I mean? So, anyways.
But well, Jung, very interesting. Interesting, weird man. More of a mystic than a scientist.
A lot of dream shit, right? Yeah, because Freud, he was a sick puppy. Yeah.
And if you get into reading Jung's journals, he was having a lot of contact with entities and spirits. And,
really?
Oh, yeah. He was,
I didn't know that.
So I take that. It takes a crazy person. To treat a crazy person. So
I agree.
Maybe I am a Jungian.
But, you know, like the stuff I read from Freud was his diaries regarding cocaine.
Oh.
Cocaine use. And then afterwards, I read his paper on cocaine psychosis.
Yeah. Well, I gained a new respect for him once I learned that he took his cocaine.
that he was an addict?
Well, he took his... I knew he took cocaine, but everyone took cocaine back then. And when I learned that he took his cocaine intravenously, it was like, well...
Huh?
Yeah, there's a man.
He steps up.
There's a man I'd follow into the darkness.
Yeah, there you go. No, he was crazy, though. Everything was about sex, right?
Yes.
And, like, very...
Yes, and biological
kinda
drives.
Oedipus. And... Oedipus kind of... Oedipus? Oedipus? Kind of stuff, right?
There was...
Sleep, wanting to sleep with your mom and killing your dad?
There was some of that, but... I'm not going to talk any further about wanting to sleep with moms and kill dads.
Okay, me neither. No. Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez. Well, on that disturbing note, let's get to our topics.
Wait, could talk about our premier.
Our premier?
We could talk about our premier and our minister of health, wanting to sleep with your mom and kill your dad.
Yeah, you're right. boy, I'm happy you guys joined us. We have an awesome episode. Mm-hmm. Because, well, you know what? Sadly, summer is almost over.
You think so?
Well, I mean, we're halfway through August.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about the big, big deal of the kids returning to school in September. Not just here in Canada, but also in America. Mm-hmm. And also that ties right into COVID-19 hoaxers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why these people just can't. It's craziness.
I keep paying them. They keep talking, Glenn.
And then, of course, hey, the NRA is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? So apparently the NRA is the National Rifle Association is being sued by the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the state of New York. And then, of course, our good friends south of the border, led by their fearless, intrepid leader, Donald, I'm a meth head, Trump. I'm just never going to leave that alone ever since you told me that, has imposed new aluminum tariffs on Canada, and it's a big deal. Like, we already went through this once.
And then we hammered out a trade deal, and now we're just slapping tariffs
and
on
now, him. But he, you know what? Because he's losing his shit, because, like, September, October, November, you know, 3.5 months.
He's just going back to the original script.
Yeah, but
in every way, shape, and form.
I guess, hoping that people are going to vote for him. But, like, he's lost it.
I think he's going to win.
No, I don't. I really don't think. It's not, and it's this. I'm not saying this as I hope he doesn't win. I really don't think he stands a chance anymore.
I hope he takes this thing even further. And
but if he takes it
back to that early South Park episode or that movie Canadian Bacon, just blame Canada. Blame Canada for everything.
Listen. If that crazy son of a bitch gets voted into office in America, our neighbor with the largest nuclear arsenal on the face of the earth, I am putting on my Hawaiian shirt and my combats and getting me a AK-47 and good, joining the Boogaloo boys.
Good Russian piece of kit, yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He's not really doing that, folks.
No, I'm not. Pshaw. But we will talk a little bit about today about the Canadian counterparts. There's two of them to the National Rifle Association up here in Canada, which is kind of cool. But moving right along. Now, this is from the BC Teachers Federation. And this is their news release.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. I mean, it's going ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not, this is the BCTF, that's the teachers' union.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the government who says everybody's going back to school. So first of all, what do you think?
Well, just to give it a little bit of background, the government announced that school is going to recommence in September, especially for the elementary grades.
Mm-hmm. K to seven.
K to seven.
Full time
in cohorts, but they didn't really explain what that means. Apparently, they didn't have a huge discussion with the teachers before they made this announcement. So now the teachers, and from what I've observed, the teachers and the government seem to be bickering back and forth.
No, that never happens.
And now we have a little bit of uncertainty about what's happening. Me, personally, I am petrified. that school will not start September because I can't deal with this shit for another fucking.
Yeah, like, I know. Me too.
Like Mike, I'm reading these textbooks about family systems. And I am creating a lot of dysfunction in my family by being their teacher, trying to fill that role, and I cannot fucking do it again. I cannot do it again.
Glenn. No, I know.
For the sake of my kids, for the sake of my sanity.
Yeah. That's funny. No, I tell you, if they don't go back, I'm going to lose my shit too. Mm-hmm. But either way, I remember when we had like 10 years under Christy Clark.
Mm-hmm.
She treated the teachers here in British Columbia like shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, seriously, I'm sure she's a Trump supporter. I'm almost 100% positive.
Well, Christy Clark was kind of cute, wasn't she?
I can't even. I can't.
That's what I recall about Christy Clark.
How could you even say, I'm not going to fucking sleep tonight?
She was kind of like a little Veronica with short hair.
Fuck, she
was adorable.
You know, she was a fucking Karen, is what she was.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sick of this anti-Karen campaign. You know what? I have an aunt named Karen. She's a wonderful, sweet human being.
I have a couple of friends named Karen. Yeah. They're nice people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Christy Clark treated teachers like shit because it was like, well, what do you care? Your kid goes to private school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now they're kind of doing it again. So what the BCTF news release... Press release, government plan for reopening schools needs more time at work, is the headline there. In response to the government's announcement to fully reopen BC schools on September 8th, the BCTF president, Terry Mooring, said the plan needs more time and a lot more work if it's going to be successful and keep everyone safe. The COVID-19 pandemic has been hard on all of us, especially children and youth. Said Mooring, education is vital, and we all agree that students need to return to school, rebuild their social connections, and learn from their teachers in a classroom setting. A lot of excellent work has already gone into it. We all share the same goal, getting students and teachers safely back into class, but there's still a lot to do before we can say with confidence that September will be safe and successful.
Now, why haven't these numbnuts been working on this together since March?
Well, this is the thing. Like, well, I'll get to that. I'll just finish.
Mm-hmm.
So today I'm calling on the Minister of Education, Office of the Provincial Health Officer, and government to let the steering committee and working groups keep taking on the big issues, come up with the right solutions, and make important changes to this restart plan. Here are some of the key concerns the BCTF is asking the government to address with the working groups. Authentic consultation and collaboration at the local level between school districts and local unions. Health and safety measures in place and tested before staff return to the school site and before students return to class. Time in September for teachers to plan, prepare, and undertake the necessary in-service training and health and safety orientations to enable equitable learning conditions and safe workplaces. Smaller classes to ensure all of the children, youth, and adults that share our school spaces can adhere to the physical distancing protocols we've all been asked to maintain during the COVID-19 pandemic. More clarity around the proposed cohort model, like you said, nobody even knows what that is and how that will keep teachers safe while ensuring students still get their full education. The key to ensuring the reopening plan is improved is allowing the working groups to spend more time together, identify the solutions, yada, yada, yada. So there you go. It is what it is, right?
But... Did anyone else's ears and eyes just gloss over when you were reading that list? None of those requests were really coherent, except for the one that was smaller class sizes. That makes sense. The rest of it just seemed like a lot of buzzwords and mumbo jumbo.
I'm still trying to get over the cohort. I use in my program at work, they're cohorts. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what the fuck that means. You know, this session, I know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So anyways, it seems that the BCTF is thinking we don't all want to get sick and die.
Mm-hmm.
And the government is saying you have to go back to work. Because everybody's losing money here. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, it's all about the paper, people.
And I think that that's I know that the children matter, and the children are our future.
They when it comes to the money, they couldn't give a shit.
And it's super important that the kids get back to school for their learning, but it's also super important that they get back to school for the daycare functionality so that the rest of us can get back to fucking life, because otherwise we are all going to put on Hawaiian shirts and grab AR-15s and just start fucking looting.
Yeah, well, I don't know. First of all, we don't know enough about, you know, my daughter was asking me about the other day. We don't know enough about why kids don't get sick, right? Or if they do, it's like so mild, it you wouldn't even know hardly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue.
But it's also, we don't know if COVID's a bioweapon yet, but I mean, we'll leave that
yeah,
for
well,
another day.
We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So we don't know much about that. I mean, it could be the fact that, I mean, so they don't get sick, but it could be like long-term damage down the road, because they're saying with adults that there's been like actual damage to the heart muscles and things like that, which nobody knew about in the beginning, but are after effects. Yeah. Like there's a ton of stuff we don't know.
And in this city, we have a lot of multi-generational homes. I kind of live in a multi-generational home. And even if your kid doesn't get sick, they might still be bringing that sickness home to parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. So there is a real concern there. But I don't know, Glenn. Like, if school doesn't happen, like, I can't, and I have to watch these kids again. That means I can't work. Right? Is the government going to make any allowances for that? Are they going to continue the CERB program? I don't think so. That's wrapping up right now too. It's coming to an end.
But it's coming to an end because they're saying everybody's back to work, people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like I keep going back to the same thing, and that is, if you'd ask people a year ago, hey, could we do a little trial run on some sort of universal income? No way. What are you, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking that socialist, communist shit? That's impossible. Mm-hmm. Boom. They rolled it out in a matter of weeks as soon as the lockdown happened. Mm-hmm. So we know that was possible.
Yeah.
We know a lot of things are possible now that they just kept saying, nope, no way, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, I think that many, many people are afraid. When I say many people, I mean people in charge, people in government, people who own businesses, companies, stuff like that. They're scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared about what could happen.
Yeah.
If we don't go back to business as usual.
No, and because even right now you're seeing in the media and you're hearing this a lot. From business interests that we can't get people back to work. And I would argue it's because your pay is shit and the $2,000 a month seems like a better deal than return to work for you fucking assholes. But and maybe you need to look at that. But
they need to look at that. But really what they need to look at is, okay, yeah, you're worried about, you know, the economy and the end. You're worried about the end of free market capitalism is what you're worried about. But at the same time, everybody's fucking dead and there's nobody to do the jobs anyways, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Well, are they
going to roll out the robots then?
Everybody's not going to die from COVID.
No, not everybody. But what if it was a large, like, look at the Spanish flu, right? America, bang up job that time around too, didn't they?
Well, we've seen by this point that many people won't die from COVID.
How do we know?
It's not as fatal because it's run its course now for how long? Since February? In the country with the highest rate of infection in the world, the U.S., how many people have died? 150,000?
Yeah, so far.
This is large.
But the numbers just keep going up every day.
We'll see.
Because they're idiots. And then I saw somebody sent me the link. Sturgis, big motorcycle rally in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
It's every year at this time it happens. And most people just went, oh, well, it's not going to happen this year like everything else. But apparently, the Sturgis Business Improvement Society just went, fuck no, it's happening.
That this is all we have going.
Because we ain't got shit for the rest of the year, except for this thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, it wasn't even an issue to a large part of the people. Like many people who attend that, right? I think like to consider themselves rebels and, you know, can't tell me what's due.
They're I think they call themselves easy riders.
No, I'm pretty sure they don't. But, you know, a funny thing is, you know, a couple decades ago, Sturgis was pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. Apparently now, Sturgis, tons of people still go, but they are, because they do surveys and polls, because they want to know, you know, how best to serve the community that goes there. Fucking doctors, lawyers, dentists.
Well, do you know how much a fucking Harley Davidson costs?
You know
it
what?
It makes fucking sense.
You know what? Back in the day...
It's just a midlife crisis between your legs.
Yeah, but back in the day, it wasn't like that. Like, I've never owned a new Harley, right? And I knew many people that never did. Mm-hmm. You bought either what you call a basket case, which means some assembly required, or you bought something that was together, but, you know, maybe not running. Mm-hmm. And, but everybody... I'm just going back in my day. Mm-hmm. Everybody could wrench their own bike. You know, you kind of had to be an all-rounder. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s, like the mid-80s, Harley really became a corporation. Mm-hmm. Because they went through, like, it got sold. Did you know that at one time it got sold to the Japanese?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which you don't, in that period, in the 70s, do not, if anybody goes... I got one of those. I'll sell it to you. Yeah, don't fucking buy it. Because they didn't do a very good job. And then Willie Davidson, the founder, one of the owner's founder's grandson, Willie G. Davidson, bought the company back with some other investors. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they developed the Evo, the Evolution engine, with rubber mounted, less vibration. You know, not leaking oil everywhere and every time, and all these improvements, and then the price went up, and then of course, the guys who could afford that were, you know, weekend warrior, right? So that's apparently now what's going on with Sturgis. But I saw some video from Sturgis, and it's funny because you got residents there who are most of them are elderly, all you know. Walking around with masks and looking horrified, and then just bike after bike. Nobody's wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Nobody's fucking social distancing. So,
how do you social distance on a bike? I guess you're pretty much 6 feet away if you're riding beside someone.
Pretty much. Yeah. Or behind them.
Or behind them. There you go.
So, it'll be interesting to see the results of, like, Sturgis, like 9 days, I think. If I remember correctly.
So if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah.
Our children returning to school is going to be like the 2020 Sturgis rally. Just a bunch of numbnuts returning in a horde, all getting fucking sick later on and fucking shit up for everyone else.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for summing that up, for putting it in a nutshell for me. And also thank you for... reeling me back in to the fucking topic at hand. I gotta work on that. And of course, I don't know, it brings out all the crazies, right? When you start talking about this stuff, when you know, it's like, on the one hand, you know, people like us want their kids to go back to school. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just for everyone's sanity. Because you know what? I've noticed it the most with the kids. It's not the learning, right? I mean, they can learn online. Yeah. That's easy, right? My kid speaks like 3 languages. She picks up that kind of stuff quite well. But it's the social aspect that is really having an impact on her and her friends and everybody else who can't be a kid right now properly. You know what I mean?
Same with me. I mean, I can beat the math and the reading into my children, and I certainly do. At the cost of our relationship and at the cost of my marriage. But
yeah, but
they've been learning.
They'll be coming to you for that therapy when they're older.
I think that's a conflict of interest, dual relationship, they would call that.
Oh, right.
I don't think you can give therapy to your child.
I should have paid more attention in class.
I paid attention in ethics class if my prof is watching this. But anyways, they miss their friends.
Yeah.
They tell me all the time. Like, when do I get to see my friends?
Oh, I know.
And it's sad.
But I think
I'm like, I'll be your friend. They're like, fuck off.
Yeah, no. I had that same experience. Mm-hmm. We're your friends. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Really? You mm-hmm. figure? Mm-hmm. Yeah, last time I checked, yeah. Friends didn't do the kind of shit that you people do to me.
It's like, for people that don't know, I mean, sometimes Glenn brings his daughter here, and I have two daughters, and these kids, when they see each other, it's like they fiend for each other for crack because they've been cut off for so long. They're just like, for like 4 straight hours. They're just running around and screaming and going insane. And then, we're hanging around here for 2-3 hours and they don't want it to end. Like, they're desperate for that contact. They're desperate to be with other kids.
And I think, I think from a mental health point of view mm-hmm. for your kids, not a healthy thing. But how are we going to do that safely? Like, you know, how are we? It seems to me right now we're at a point with COVID-19 that you got like half the population is just like, yeah, we're resigned to the fact that this shit could be going on for a couple of years mm-hmm. and masking up and all these procedures is just going to be a part of daily life. And then you have the other half of the population is like, fuck this shit. Got to get back to work. Got to be making some money. I don't really care anymore. I'm done.
Or let's just pretend it's not a problem.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like we can't have 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's got to be all of us one way or the other. And
You and your communism again, Glenn.
Well, I'm just very curious to see what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, there is a solution.
And,
there is a solution.
Uh-huh.
It's coming soon.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to take it. But a vaccine?
Oh, you're not one of those, are you?
What do you mean one of those?
Anti-vaxxers?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just don't trust.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I don't put anything in my veins unless it was manufactured in either Mexico or Pakistan.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Because, you know, like we've had, did you notice, in Ontario and Vancouver as well, had a couple mm-hmm. of the anti-mask rallies. Mm-hmm. What the hell is that, really? Mm-hmm. You can't tell us what, Canada has done such a good job of handling this.
No, what is an anti-mask rally?
Well, apparently in Vancouver, anyways, it's about 12 people walking around in a circle going, can't tell us what to do. And people walking by going, yeah, fuck, whatever. I hope you get sick and die.
But you don't have to wear a mask right now anywhere.
No, this is, I know, it's not a law or a rule.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about it in Ontario. Mm-hmm. TransLink here in British Columbia is mm-hmm. saying, yes, very soon it's going to be mandatory mm-hmm. on public transit. But I'm pretty sure in Ontario, Quebec it is, mm-hmm. right? So
now, do they provide you with a mask at the door? Or do you have to bring your own?
I think most places provide them.
I doubt it, but we'll see.
But it's funny because so what I've got here mm-hmm. in my notes is in the midst of a global pandemic, conspiracy theorists have found yet another way to spread dangerous disinformation and misinformation about COVID-19, sowing seeds of doubt about its severity and denying the very existence of the pandemic.
Whoa. We want to talk about dangerous disinformation spread by nefarious agents. What about the beginning of this fucking pandemic when they told us that masks don't do anything, but they only told us that so they didn't want there to be a run on masks at the stores so that healthcare providers didn't fucking have them? What about that fucking misinformation, Glenn? Remember that?
Well, I'm going to have to say
those were from your trusted media sources. Sorry.
I'm going to have to say that at the time, they didn't know enough about it.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't. Except
anyways.
That they made it.
Fuck off. So since March 28th, conspiracy theorists, coronavirus deniers, have been using the hashtag. These people are just, you know, like, seriously, if they're going to make any laws, the laws should be about critical fucking thinking. That should be a fucking mandatory law.
There should be two categories of hashtag and astag.
I agree. So they've been using the hashtag film your hospital to encourage people to visit local hospitals to take pictures and videos to prove, because we don't have enough to do in the hospital. Mm-hmm. We got to worry about you fucking lunatics coming in with cameras. And to prove that COVID-19 pandemic is an elaborate hoax. The premise for the conspiracy theory rests on the baseless assumption. Now, this is their logic. Mm-hmm. That if hospital parking lots and waiting rooms are empty, mm-hmm. then the pandemic must not be real or is not as severe as reported by health authorities and the media.
Well, now, I support a good conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. But I think these people are misguided, because if you look at it closely, all the COVID experimentation is taking place two levels below ground, one level below where they keep the children, and that's why there's no one in the fucking parking lots, yeah. and there's no one in the waiting rooms, underground facilities.
So the people I know who were working in hospitals, mm-hmm. you know, during this whole thing, the biggest thing they were pissed about, mm-hmm. Because parking... They made parking free mm-hmm. at all the hospitals for obvious fucking reason. They also made parking free in, I don't know about Burnaby, but Vancouver it was free. Mm-hmm. And so they were getting pissed because they would show up. And of course, the parking lot would be full mm-hmm. with like the people who were actually working mm-hmm. elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the hospital would come park at the fucking hospital.
Nothing like good opportunism.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're in the middle of a pandemic, but look, free parking. Mm-hmm. Fuck. I don't even have to go to work, but mm-hmm. I'm going to go park.
I really think that this is like years from now, social scientists are just going to have a fucking heyday. There's like decades of research that could be done on this pandemic about how people went absolutely fucking insane, how their energies were diverted into just complete and total fucking conspiratorial nonsense because they had nothing better to do than stare at a fucking computer.
Yeah.
And we all know what the fucking internet is. It's just a fucking downward spiral into a sea of shit and the lowest common denominator. And you know that because you're here listening to this show.
That's right.
You have spun cycled all the way down to the bottom.
And, you know, just before we get to our break, mm-hmm. I'm going to say that research that you're talking about, mm-hmm. That definitely is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it will probably be discovered in a time capsule by fucking aliens from another planet after we destroy ourselves.
Yeah, and no one's going to read it. No one reads research. It's all shit anyways. the only one reading it is me, going absolutely fucking insane.
Well, no, that's not true. Yeah. I'm one of these people that I didn't finish school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I read papers and stuff.
So you're an autodidact. Autodidact. Yeah.
Like some people look at some of the books I'm got and they're like, what are you taking? Like nothing.
I looked on your bookshelf too. Yeah, I was like, Book of Mormon. This guy's out there.
okay. On that note, we're going to take a short break. Stick around. We'll be right back. And hey, go jugglers. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
are back. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah.
Here's some big news.
Oh, before we move on to the show topics, mm-hmm. I just want to give a big shout out. You were checking the stats before, and
yeah.
we now have one listener
yes.
in India.
Who is it?
Mr. Modi, good to have you with us. You're doing God's work out there.
I don't think it's Mr. Modi.
Or Satsadika Namiji, it's my grandma.
That's more than likely.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't understand what we're saying, but...
But if you are listening from India, and you do understand us,
uh-huh.
and you want to yell at us, give us a shout. We'd be
yes.
fucking...
Yes!
We'd be jazzed to hear from you. Oh, that's some Canadian slang. Jazzed
that's
to hear
right.
from you.
Yeah. So leave a comment, whatever. But mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Hit
please.
Us up on Patreon.
There you go. Okie dokie. So big news. Big news. The NRA, the National Rifle Association, is being sued by the state of New York. The NRA is fraught with fraud and abuse. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Now, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. So, I was back in the 70s? Late? No, early 80s. Big Magnum P.I. fan.
Okay. You are old.
I didn't say how yeah. old I was back then.
I'm guessing you were old enough.
Anyways, yeah, Tom Selleck mm-hmm. and Magnum P.I.
Magnificent mustache.
Yeah, hell of a mustache. Yeah. And the Hawaiian shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't know at the time was he's been involved with the NRA for a long time mm-hmm. until a few years back, mm-hmm. some of this shit started to come up and Tom went, gotta go, I'm out. And people asked him about it mm-hmm. and because he was on the board of directors. And he was like, I got nothing to say. But he like totally just went, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways... The reason this is a thing, you're thinking to yourself, well, why, how come, what did the NRA do to the state of New York? It's because they get a shit ton of money from governments, right?
So the NRA
yeah.
receives government handouts and subsidies?
Well, yeah, so this is the thing, right?
But aren't the types of people who join the NRA the same types of people that
who
hate government handouts
yes.
and special interest groups?
So the NRA is fraught with fraud and abuse, State Attorney General Letitia James said in a statement. The Attorney General of New York will seek to dissolve the National Rifle Association after discovering the gun group has allegedly engaged in severe financial misconduct. In a lawsuit filed on Thursday, State Attorney General Letitia James said she found the NRA lost more than $64 million mm-hmm. over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The 18-month investigation discovered that top executives funneled contracts to friends and family members and used charitable funds for their own personal gain. The NRA's influence has been so powerful that the organization went unchecked for decades, while top executives funneled millions into their own pockets. James said in a statement, according to NPR, the NRA is fraught with fraud and abuse. Today, we seek to dissolve the NRA because no organization is above the law. Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine also announced on Thursday that he would be suing the National Rifle Association Foundation, claiming donor money went to fund firearm safety and training was instead diverted to support wasteful spending by NRA and executives. So, going back to Tom Selleck. When I started wearing Hawaiian shirts mm-hmm. because of Magnum P.I.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, yeah. I mean,
it was a thing to do in the 80s. There was
but
there was a little white powder around your nose and a Hawaiian
well,
shirt on your back.
Not me personally,
yeah.
but almost everybody I knew.
Yeah.
And so I never knew. So in Magnum P.I., did you know the backstory is he's like a former Navy SEAL?
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out in real life he's like a gun guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I posit that Tom Selleck, original Boogaloo boy.
Oh, really?
Hell, I think, yes.
Yeah.
I think that that's who they modeled
themselves after.
Well, no, I think he like runs it from like behind the scenes, yeah. Deep state kind of shit. I think
you're learning, my young Padawan, on how to start a conspiracy theory. Early steps.
Thank you very much.
But that's fantastic. I imagine that the types of people who are in the NRA are libertarians and are always shit-talking the government about how wasteful and corrupt they are.
Yeah, I know.
And here we go.
So the now here, did you know this? In Canada, we also have two organizations that apparently hate each other,
uh-huh.
And are in competition, but they are both Canada's answer to the NRA.
So these are like gun rights lobbying groups?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have the National Firearms Association, the NFA.
Yeah. Not fucking around posse.
Yeah. Yeah. In Quebec, it's the Association Nationale des Armes à Feu.
Well, that sounds lame as shit.
I know. That was my Pepe Le Pew from Bugs Bunny. Nonprofit association based across Canada. Main goals are the repeal and replacement of the Firearms Act, Bill C-68, which was introduced into Canadian Parliament in 1995, now called Chapter 39 of the 95 Statutes of Canada, the promotion of marksmanship and firearm safety, and the protection of the right to hunt and self-defense and property rights. The NFA was faced with a hostile takeover attempt in 2015. Several lawsuits ensued, so it's not just an American thing.
So is it the French organization and the NFA who don't like each other?
Or no. The same? They're one and the same.
Okay.
Several lawsuits ensued, with the NFA surviving the takeover attempt and winning the court cases. The other guys are the Canadian, the new boys on the block. Yeah. And these guys are a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen some of their YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. The Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights is a volunteer...
CCFR.
A volunteer organization representing the Canadian firearm-owning community.
CCFR, that sounds like cockfire. Okay, keep going, Glenn.
It sounds like a rock group from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Our vision is to maintain, protect, and promote private firearm ownership. We will accomplish our vision by engaging in the following efforts: inform and educate the Canadian public about current firearm laws and regulations and their effect on our society, provide support and accurate information to media and government concerning firearm issues, policies, and regulations, including social impacts. Promote human rights in Canada as they apply to defense of persons and property rights. Promote in an exclusive nature all firearm-related activities and culture in Canada. Sorry, I got a little carried away.
You've gone beat red, Glenn.
Anyways, the YouTube channel.
I feel inspired right now.
You should.
And where's my brown shirt?
So I came across this guy on the YouTube channel, I think when I was researching, the assault weapons ban, right? So
the hasty assault weapons ban.
Yes.
The reactive assault weapons ban.
Anyway,
which even you said that was a little bit hasty and reactive.
Well, it was, yeah. So anyways, I came across this... The guy's channel, and nowhere can I find his full name. I think he goes by Van. His channel is the Free White North. Okay. And I emphasize the white part.
I emphasize the free part.
Yeah. He was talking about the assault ban. But these guys are a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a little research. Apparently, they're pretty tight with some anti-Muslim organizations here in Canada. And groups like... I'm saying groups like the Soldiers of Odin. I'm not saying that they're tight with the Soldiers of Odin. But yeah, so a little bit scary. And it's funny because Like growing up, where I grew up, small farm town, yeah, everybody, almost every house had hunting rifles and shotguns. Mm-hmm. That was just normal. I think some people had handguns.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think I've said this before, but I was like in elementary school, and this guy came to our school from the Rod and Gun Club. Mm-hmm. And he had a collection of rifles and stuff in glass cases.
This was like a school presentation?
Everyone
come to the gym. We're going to go look at some guns.
Yeah, this was normal where I grew up.
It's awesome. We never had that at my school.
Yeah, he was from the...
We learned about salmon. Like, we went to the salmon stream.
Well, yeah, that which is a good thing.
No, I'd trade salmon for guns any fucking day. So we could have shot salmon. They would have been fantastic.
So this guy who came to lecture us and talk about gun safety, ironically, had like half his face blown off. Which... I'm sorry, that's not even funny.
Were you allowed to ask as to how his half his face?
We were kids. Okay. Fuck, everybody did. What, are you kidding me? So
it was a lawnmower accident.
Yeah. Anyway, so then the next thing I know, you know, because I bring home this consent mm-hmm. form, like I just like every other kid, I just bring this stuff home that the teacher gives me, and then so next thing you know, my old man has signed me up, and I'm at the gun club. With a fucking .22 rifle,
mm-hmm.
Like learning how to shoot targets. And at the time, I didn't think much of it, you know. But as an adult, I'm like, this, I don't think like 8-year-olds mm-hmm. should have guns. Hell, most of the fucking so-called responsible adults I know shouldn't have guns.
But if we have guns from an early age, doesn't that go a long way in making us more responsible gun owners as we get older?
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This guy...
Also, I mean, other countries have child armies. We should have one, too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, you got me.
Yeah.
End of topic. Let's like, go on.
No, but think of
what
it.
Are you fucking crazy?
They don't get sick from fucking COVID. We've seen our kids. They fall off the top of the fucking playground, and they're fucking... They just keep rolling. They are absolutely indestructible. These kids, when they're playing, it's like they're doing fucking parkour. They're like little ninjas. If we just put guns in their hands, like, we could do some fucking damage.
Okay, then.
We need to protect this great white north.
Anyways. What was I going to say? So, yeah, these guys, like, I'm watching this guy's channel, and he's very... I'm not going to say militant, but he's very like, listen, you know, criminals are bad.
Mm-hmm.
They should never have guns.
Yeah.
But us, responsible gun owners, we should have guns.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask me, you know, what I'm doing with my AR-15 or whatever the comparable model that they sell mm-hmm. up here in Canada is. And he goes, I target shoot. Why in the fuck? Okay, my old man target shooter, he had shot targets. And now this is a guy, he was a Second World War vet, quite a marksman,
mm-hmm.
you know. He could put, to coin a phrase, a round through a flea's ass at 200 meters.
Yeah, or a Nazi's nostril.
Yeah. But, yeah, what... Is there target shooting for, like, semi-automatic weapons? Why would you have that? Like, why don't you just say, you know, because if you have
a semi-automatic, don't you just spray in the general direction?
I don't know. Why don't you just be honest? Why mm-hmm. don't you just go, and you know what? If some junkie or brown person breaks in my house in the middle of the night, I'll take his fucking head off with my automatic weapon.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say that? Yeah. Instead of... hiding behind, like, sport target shooting fucking bullshit.
Or freedom discussions. I always get the sense that people that have a lot of guns are just, they're just waiting.
Just waiting.
Every day, hoping, praying. Like, I don't want anyone to fucking break into my house, but I think that if I had a gun, I'd be like, go ahead, make my day.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's the thing up here in Canada that, you know, We have far fewer homicides, you know, I think in the city, yeah, sure, like Surrey, I don't know, they went a little overboard with like driving around in cars shooting at each other. But like
Toronto has ongoing gun violence.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
Toronto has a vibrant inner city.
But when I was growing up, that wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And but you said there's a lot more guns.
Yeah, I think there is. I think per capita we have more firearms in Canada than America.
No way.
Well, or pretty damn close.
No.
Like when you look at it.
No, it's not even close. That can't be true. It's not even close.
Have you ever gone hunting?
No, I have not.
Any desire to?
I've gone hunting on Black Friday at the mall.
Yeah, but any desire to go bring down a moose or a fucking elk or something? Yeah.
No desire.
Other than that, I mean, you know, I can't see a good reason to own. Like the only people I think I would want to own a gun in order to protect myself against are like the people who have this YouTube channel.
Yeah, probably. Although I'll tell you, when COVID first started up, I was going crazy. And when we were doing all this doomsday prepping for the house, at that time I was considering, you know, we need a gun because if shit gets really out of control and there's like people scouring up the house, like zombie mode, we're going to need to blast them.
I know. But, it goes back to the McCluskeys in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I said before was, if you're trying to protect your home, do you stumble out on the fucking front lawn in your bare feet, half drunk?
Waving a gun?
No, you get up on the second floor, you get a good view where you can get a good shot.
And that goes back to the initial discussion. If the NRA wasn't siphoning funds into paying off friends and family, and the higher levels were getting rich, they could have put those funds into better tactical training for their members so they could learn how to get on top of the roof and shoot black people from the top of it.
And going back to the NRA, you know who's another guy who has been an NRA supporter for a long time?
Who's that?
And I think was on the board. Actually, I don't think he was ever on the board because he's too fucking crazy. Ted Nugent.
Oh yeah, Ted Nugent's all about the guns.
He's nuts.
Yeah, well, he's a beast on the guitar.
What I remember, when people used to say Ted Nugent, I go, "Oh yeah, Cat Scratch Fever," which was really, in retrospect,
it's a shit song.
Yeah,
yeah,
and just a fucking passable album, LP. But I had no idea. So then I found out, oh yeah, he's like a bow and arrow guy. Mm-hmm. But he's also a gun guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened. Then I started doing a little research and some clips and stuff of different programs he's appeared on. He's fucking batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the last person on earth who should ever have a gun is that fucker.
Yeah.
He's like a Republican. He backs Trump. He's nuts.
So you're saying I shouldn't have a gun?
Oh, you definitely should. Probably more so than me.
I don't know. I just don't understand the rationale behind wanting to have a gun. A gun has one fucking utility, and that is killing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not really into fucking killing.
Targets. Killing targets.
Killing targets with dark faces on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or yellow faces.
And I think too, that... here in Vancouver, well, not in Vancouver, but... Coquitlam, and I think Surrey has a couple of places. I know Langley for sure has ranges. And they have become, in the past 10 years, I'm going to say, a popular thing where you can go out to these and shoot some guns, handguns, right? And that, to me, is a big shift in Canadian society, especially British Columbia. So, if you talk to somebody who grew up where I grew up, and they hunt and they fish, they don't talk about guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you have in your house. It's a tool.
It's like you don't talk about the hammer.
Unless
you're talking about the hammer in your pants.
Right. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just I hunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fish. And then sometimes when you're, fucking at the Legion on Friday night, you talk about what kind of ammo to buy and what kind of flies to tie and shit like that. But, if you said to these guys, hey, do you want to go out to this fancy new, you know, gun range, indoor gun range, and shoot a fucking Sig Sauer SP, you know, 324? Mm-hmm. They'd be like, why? Why the fuck would it be? Are you an idiot?
Mm-hmm.
Were you a communist?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got that yeah. from, I think, growing up. Everything that went wrong in my time. What are you, a communist? Do you even know what a communist is? Yeah. You, I think.
You. You. And nobody queer. Even... And queers.
And yeah, and queer. Yeah. That was the other thing. Yeah. So, I don't know. But either way, the National Rifle Association in America is being sued by the state of New York and apparently soon the state of Washington.
And
or not state, the Washington, D.C.
Okay, so...
The District of Columbia.
So they're being sued by blue states and blue districts by people named Leticia. I'm just putting that out there. That's what the patriots are going to say. With a name like Leticia, you're not a true patriot. They're just trying to take down the NRA. People who are standing up for the rights of Americans.
Google the attorney.
I've heard enough. Leticia. Is that an American name?
She's a very serious black woman who, like, you listen to her talk and you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure she could kick my ass.
I'm just saying that the people in the NRA are not going to react well to a Leticia, a very serious black woman, telling them that they're corrupt.
Probably not.
No. And Donald Trump's probably losing his shit over it.
Well, Donald Trump,
he's become unhinged.
He has, and he's...
Donnie, get your shit together.
Because November's coming up.
Yeah, November's coming up. Get your shit together.
And he's panicking, and so now he's slapping the... He's going back to the same aluminum tariffs that he put on Canada when he got into office. Because he was going to be...
This is a South Park...
Guy.
The South Park episode. Blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know what he's doing. So, but you know what? Have you seen our minister of what is it? Our minister of trade? Who is she? Christina Freeland.
Ooh, yeah. Christina Freeland.
Oh, she's now the deputy prime minister. I must have missed something. Wow. She used to be like the Canadian ambassador to the States.
Now, is she as hot as Christy Clark?
No.
Okay.
You gotta stop with that shit. I'm not gonna fucking sleep tonight. God. So intends to impose. So we intend to impose $3.6 billion in punitive countermeasures after a 30-day consultation with business leaders and other Canadians about potential targets from a preliminary list.
So now what this means is the Canadian government is betting that Trump doesn't survive November.
Yeah, and they actually come out and say that a little later on here. Canada will respond swiftly and strongly, Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland said Friday. Canada's list of potential targets threatens to hit politically sensitive areas, namely states critical to U.S. President Donald Trump's re-election. So a disproportionate number of the more than 5 dozen items on Canada's potential hit list are from key U.S. election swing states, including paint dyes, aluminum waste, for which Michigan is a top exporter to Canada, refrigerators and bicycles, for which Wisconsin is the lead exporter, and aluminum powders and bars from Pennsylvania.
So the government of Canada is going to try to hit swing states with punitive measures to swing the election in the favor of the Democrats. That's what this looks like.
And
deep
now,
state conspiracy. We're exposing it one show at a fucking time. Canada, you right there, you're on fucking notice. You're on fucking notice.
So tell me, ignore him. Tell me this. Now, is this just like a tit for tat? Is this like, what are you doing?
Okay.
You're fucking with us here.
No.
We're trying to be good trade partners and you're doing this. So now we're going to do this in retaliation. Or is this something that we got upset about the Russians doing, right? Interfering with elections. Is this not interfering with elections?
No. We are interfering with elections right now more directly than the Russians ever did.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
So how can we get pissed when... Sorry, go ahead.
We've established this by this time, 11 episodes, 10 episodes in the show, that Donald Trump is a good man. He may have some problems with stimulants. He may have some problems with reality, but overall, he's a good guy. I think I know what's going on right here.
Okay.
Donald Trump is fighting the opioid epidemic.
I think he's fighting his own opioid.
He's fighting the opioid epidemic. He's going to cut off the fucking foil supply. Because those junkies, man, they like fucking smoking off that foil. You cut that fucking Canadian foil out of there, how you gonna fucking do it? Yeah, how you gonna fucking do it, Glenn?
You're right, you solved it.
Not just that. An aluminum can is also a fantastic tool to smoke crack when you don't have a Pyrex pipe.
That's true.
All you need is an aluminum can and some cigarette ash. Tips for you from Wallace Hartley Presents.
Oh, God. I have no idea how that's going to go over at all. 2019 pact lifted across-the-board tariffs from the U.S. on Canadian steel and aluminum while setting limits on what products can be targeted in the event of a future dispute. That dispute, it appears, has arrived. Freeland made the announcement a day after Trump reimposed tariffs of 10% on certain aluminum products. And here's the thing.
Wait, didn't we sign a trade deal to stop this fucking slapping tariffs business?
It's Trump. He's the same guy who went, if I lose the election, I'm not leaving. You can't do that. I will just sit here and I will hold my breath.
And my small penis with my small hands.
And you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you got to fucking go. If you lose the election, you can pack up your shit and go.
We discussed this last week. He doesn't have to because this election will not be legitimate and it will not be recognized. Because, first of all, the state of the nation is as such that they're not mentally capable of casting votes for the leadership of the country. Therefore, the leadership should remain the same. And we've also established now, Canada's interfering in the fucking election.
Well, that part, yes.
Targeting swing states.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Canadian products being targeted by the U.S. Are used as raw materials in other aluminum-based goods. Mm-hmm. Freeland said Canada would seek to avoid escalating the dispute, you know, as long as Trump fucking loses the election. Mm-hmm. Saying that retaliation would be reciprocal and limited in scope. She did, however, blast the administration, calling it the most protectionist in U.S. history. She called its rationale for new tariffs ludicrous and absurd. She also said Americans would suffer more than anyone else. For example, she predicted a price increase on the very washing machines made at the Ohio plant where Trump announced the tariffs. The United States has taken this absurd decision to harm its own people at a time when its economy is suffering its deepest crisis since the Great Depression. An American who buys a can of beer or a soda or a car or a bike will suffer. In fact, the washing machines Trump stood in front of yesterday will get more expensive. She called the tariffs unnecessary, unwarranted, and entirely unacceptable. Fuck, man, she's tough, don't you think?
She's tough, but the language wasn't this tough 3 years ago, which just tells me, like we opened this discussion off, they really don't think that Trump is going to survive November, and I hope that Trump doesn't surprise them.
You know, here's a guy who actually surprised me throughout his entire time. So we all remember Rob Ford.
Rob Ford.
Mayor of Toronto, crackhead, and crazy person. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, his brother, Doug, actually got elected Premier of Ontario. Mm-hmm. And really, like so many people went, oh, Canada's answer to Trump. Way to fucking go, you boneheads in Ontario. Mm-hmm. But he's been actually surprisingly rational about many, many things, including this. Because Doug Ford said he feared the steel tariffs might also be imminent and expressed his annoyance with Trump. And what else? There was a few other things that he had said and done. Oh, yeah, like during the whole COVID-19, he's like, social distancing, you know, don't be in large groups, wear masks. Because I thought he'd be the first guy going, it's not real. Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's a lot smarter than I gave him credit for. So there you go. But anyways, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen.
It makes sense to me about the Ford thing.
Well, how does it make sense?
If you spend a lifetime having to deal with your crazy, drunk, coked up fucking brother talking them down, you might be sort of sane and rational and able to talk to a fucking worked up mass of people.
Ah, that's true. I never even thought about that.
Life skills.
We were like, Canada was everywhere. Well, Toronto was everywhere when that was happening. Mm-hmm. It was Rob Ford.
Yeah, he was on late night shows and people were joking about it, which we really shouldn't be. I mean, the man was fucking sick.
Well, definitely he was sick. Mm-hmm. He had an addiction. But again, I've said this before, right? You know, I have lots of empathy for sure. And sometimes I even have sympathy for people in those situations, unless you're a fucking dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a dick. So it was a lot easier to kind of go, you know what? You fucking deserve what you get, you hypocritical bastard.
But was he a dick because he was sick, or he was sick because he was a dick?
I think he was always a dick, you know? He was one of those guys. And his whole family, like his... now, was it him? No, it was his brother, Doug, who apparently was like a hash dealer when he was younger.
And these guys are running Ontario.
They're running Ontario, but again, they are a well-off middle-class family. Mm-hmm. Like, they own their own company.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody kind of inherited that. And then I guess Rob Ford's widow is suing Doug because she got cut out of all kinds of
things. Oh, she got done dirty.
But either way.
Well, I think it's getting to that time now, Glenn.
It is.
Yeah.
What time is that?
The time to go.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Well, here's wrapping it up. You know, we looked at Canada fixing the election. We found out that
Trump is going to solve the opioid epidemic.
Yes.
Yeah.
We found out that Tom Selleck started the Boogaloo Boys.
Yeah.
And
sending our kids back to school is no better than those fucking numbnuts down in Sturgis right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wait, did I just agree with you?
Yeah.
You're right. It is time to fucking go. Nah. Listen. Thank you all for joining us once again. Mm-hmm. We're always happy to have you, and we're happy to be in your ears, in your homes, in your living rooms, in your tent, wherever the hell you are, or for some people, if you're a little bit fucking hoity-toity and wealthier than the rest of us, on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
all the beautiful boaters out there.
But you know, if you like what you're hearing, listen. You can catch us on Spotify. You can catch us on Podbean, on Google Podcasts, somewhere else. I can't even remember now.
Yeah, whatever.
We have a YouTube channel, which is maybe what you're watching right now. If you can see us, that is what you're watching right now, just in case you didn't know. And it's called Wallace Hartley Presents. That's the name of the YouTube channel. So if you listen to us, you like listening to us, and you want to actually, for God knows why, see what we look like.
You don't want to fucking do that.
Head over to the YouTube channel.
Unless you're attracted to Beefy Brown Man, then watch him.
Okay, so anyways, please tell your friends, share. We need comments. We need more comments. We want to have a show when we can do like viewer mail.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic.
Spend a whole show just answering questions and comments and fending off abuse. Because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that. Anyways, folks, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We love you all. You're awesome. And Harge and Glenn say to you out there listening and viewing,
don't be a dick.
Bye.